WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. New York City prosecutors have charged 26-year-old Luigi Mangione with second-degree murder in last week's killing of the UnitedHealthcare chief executive officer. Mangione busted in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when a customer in a McDonald's recognized Mangione. Mangione could face an extradition hearing Wednesday. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
In some dark corners, this killer is being hailed as a hero. Hear me on this. He is no hero. The real hero in this story is the person who called 911 at McDonald's this morning.
A federal judge in Phoenix sentenced polygamous leader Samuel Bateman to 50 years in prison for coercing girls as young as 9 into criminal sex acts with him. He claimed 20 spiritual wives. The United Nations says Syria's public sector has come to a complete and abrupt halt after rebels overthrew President Bashar al-Assad. This is ABC News. TikTok keeps trying to get out from under a U.S. law requiring it be sold to a U.S.-approved owner or be banned.
TikTok has filed an emergency motion aimed at stopping a potential ban on the social media app that is set to take effect next month. The company says it's appealing an earlier decision that ruled the ban could move forward, now sending the issue to the Supreme Court. TikTok drew attention to the economic impact of a ban, claiming small businesses on the platform stand to lose around $1 billion if the app is taken off American app stores. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Sotheby's announced that the oldest known stone tablet inscribed with the Ten Commandments will be auctioned. The 155-pound marble slab dates to 300 to 800 A.D., unearthed during railroad excavations along the southern coast of Israel in 1913 and, at first, not recognized as historically significant. It goes on the block December 18th. Sotheby's says it could draw $2 million. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Bucks and the Magic tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Doc Rivers says with Chris Middleton back, the Bucks finally have some depth.
You know, with Chris eventually starting at some point, you know, you'll have Gary and TP and A.J. Green. And boy, we're finally going to say we have a bench.
College basketball, the Badgers in Champaign tonight to take on Illinois. The Badgers dropping from 11th to 20th in the AP Top 25 poll yesterday after losing last week to Michigan and Marquette. College football, quarterback Tyler Van Dyke announcing he's leaving Wisconsin and entering the transfer portal. Baseball meetings continue in Dallas. Brewers general manager Matt Arnold asked if they'll move Bryce Terang or Joey Ortiz to play shortstop now that Willy Adames is signed with the Giants.
We have several alternatives there, like Terang, Ortiz, et cetera, up the middle if needed, but Willie was, you know, among the best shortstops in the history of our franchise.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top 5, and only 3 flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first week in release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for the area in the overnight. A breezy west to northwest wind up around 20 miles per hour, and lows dropping back into the lower and middle 20s. On Tuesday, we'll see partly sunny skies, northwest wind still a bit breezy, highs close to 30 degrees. It's 30 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio to discuss the latest in politics and what's happening with the economy. Join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Missed you guys over the weekend. Great to be back. We're going to light it up tonight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. I don't know if it's just me, but Monday nights are a little less depressing, or Mondays in general, when you're leading up to Christmas. So to me, I don't even get, like, for the next two or three Mondays, I'm not even, not that I'm depressed, but they don't feel as bad. Am I right, Conrad?
You know, I also think that it was warm out today.
Yeah, that helps.
So I was just happy going outside and being like, wow. I don't have to wear a coat if I don't want to right now.
Well, it wasn't the tropics, dude. You got a nice windbreaker on a shawl or something. But yeah, I hear you. It was great just to have warm weather back for a little bit. But welcome to Nightlight, folks. That is the voice of Conrad. He is riding shotgun as usual, producing the show tonight. And I am your humble host, Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me wherever you are joining us from in the state of Wisconsin. It is great to have you as we put the day behind us and settle in with hopefully some laughs and some movie and TV talk, some current events, what's going on in the state. I'll tell you what, I have tickets to Frank's Christmas down the block at the Meyer Theater in a couple weekends. I'm so excited to go see that. I've seen Frank's stuff online. I've never been to a live performance. My parents have been to several. And they're like, you got to check it out. It's great. And this is before I was even doing this show. So it's just having Frank in here so often and just what a great guest he is. I can't wait. I'm excited to see the show. And everybody I know in the whole ensemble is just great. So that's something to look forward to. I think we all have these things, whether it's family or making Christmas cookies together or whatever it is. Just help these weeks go by a little faster and bring cheer to our lives. So this is exciting to have you guys with me. We're gonna bang this out Monday style. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan for Nightlight tonight. At 6:35, our long-lost friend, Kristen Lierley, will be here. Dr. Kristen Lierley, as you might know her, she dipped her toe in politics for a few months and ran a very admirable campaign that was unsuccessful, which we are sad for her, but we're glad to have her back as a guest. We don't really do politics on this show, and we would have had to have her opponent on the show, and I just didn't want to get into all that. But Kristen is coming back as a doctor and someone who is going to have a very frank conversation with us tonight, like she always does about health. She does not hold back. She's made me blush a couple times, Conrad. I don't know about you, but she's willing. She goes there, and she says things. So like only a doctor can. Kristen is a lot of fun. We're going to talk to her about Oscars that are coming up because she's a big Oscar fan. And we're going to play a game that I made up called Symptoms, where I'm going to ask Kristen what the first thing that comes to her mind when she hears a certain symptom. And she's going to give us some home remedies for stuff that we feel throughout this cold and flu season.
that we can maybe partake in that don't involve chemicals or, you know, drugs or painkillers or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I've taken my share of Tylenol, but nice to have home remedies and natural things to help us feel better. So Kristen is always fun. She's going to be here at 6:35. Very excited to see her again. Last time she brought a drink that had a placenta in it, Conrad, and I was not a fan.
I wasn't either, yeah.
I liked the drink. I liked the flavor, but there was this texture. And I don't even know whose placenta it was. That's what creeped me out the most, I think. I don't know whose placenta I was drinking. Maybe it was just like a makeshift placenta. I don't know. But I know people eat the placenta, and it's supposed to bring health benefits, whatever. But anyway, Kristen's always fun. She'll be here at 6:35, and I'm sure we'll have a great time. Then at 7:20, this is exciting too, folks. We have talked cigars on this show one time before with Norm Kopeski from Appleton Cigar. Norm was on the show 2-3 months ago, maybe end of summer. We smoked a cigar a little bit. We did a couple gags. We had a great talk. Norm's a good guy. His cigar shop is fantastic. You got to check it out if you haven't. But one of his suppliers, I think that's their relationship because they work together. We'll get more details when our guest arrives at 7:20. But Rose Bauman will be here from Legacy Cigars. And we'll have another great talk about cigars. I love a good cigar. I don't smoke them often, but it's a fun social thing to do. And Rose, I think, is one of the few women in the game. So that will be fun, too. I'm going to ask her a lot of cigar questions. And Rose says she's an open book, so we'll see. We've got two women coming on tonight that are open books. Kristen will talk about anything. I'm not going to get too personal with Rose. If you're listening, don't panic. But we'll talk cigars and kind of how she got started and what is so great about Legacy Cigars. I'm excited. Now, the fact that she's not here, she can't bring us cigars like Norm did. So that's kind of a drag.
There's always dropping off, you know.
Right, because that went over so well last week with Uber Eats when the driver left it at the apartment building three doors down. He left, like, muffins and coffee out all night.
Yeah.
He just left them at the door. Like, what do you think's going to happen? We're not getting those. There's call letters right in the window here. Anyhow, guy's trying to make a living. No worries. But those are our guests. Kristen at 6:35 and Rose Bauman at 7:20. That's a fun night. That's a fun way to light it up. And you can't beat lighting it up with someone who is in the cigar racket. You see what I did there, Conrad? That's how you light it up.
That's how you light it up.
You have someone on the show who knows damn well how to light it up. So that'll be fun. Today is Nash. Oh, first, before we get into this, I want to say this: there was a great video that went viral over the weekend or over the course of the last week involving Dick Van Dyke and Chris Martin from Coldplay. And it was just a really... I don't know. I should have done more research. I don't know the genesis of it or if Chris Martin's a huge Dick Van Dyke fan, but Dick Van Dyke is 98 years old. He's approaching 100. He's still pretty sharp. And in this video, Chris Martin sings this great song. Where is that song, Conrad? What's it called? Can't take my eyes off you.
That's All My Love.
It. All My Love. He sings the song. Dick Van Dyke kind of dances around, sings along at times. We see Dick Van Dyke's family. And it was just such a neat video to celebrate this guy's life. I mean, Dick Van Dyke, by all accounts, a Hollywood legend with the movies he's done, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins and the Dick Van Dyke Show. The guy is an absolute legend. And it was fun to see Chris Martin playing the piano. And it was at some bar in Malibu with a beautifully lit beer garden or yard or whatever it was. And Dick Van Dyke is kind of dancing along. And then Chris Martin sings a song. Do we have that clip ready? Let's play a little bit of that clip just to give people an idea. This is Dick Van Dyke. This is Chris Martin from Coldplay singing to Dick Van Dyke, who kind of challenged him to make up a little song.
Dick, name a subject for a song you'd like right now, and Chris can compose it.
A subject for a song?
Yeah.
Well, old age was a good one.
Old age.
Yeah.
Old age is hard. Say it over town. Everything I wish went up started going down.
Oh my God, that's great.
Gravity is winning and it'll win some more. Things that used to stay up hard are dragging on the floor. You see? It writes itself. Old age. Old age. old age, you turn another page. Old age, all the love that I've been feeling, all the breaking, all the healing, all the things that I wish I'd done raw right. All the days that I was dancing, all the chances I was chancing, but still I'm legendary Dick Van Dyke. My hair is started
film. Do you believe this man?
I was playing.
I can't believe it.
My hair when I was dancing in the cold. I'm thank you all of you, Spike Jones and his crew. Come back when I turn 100 years old.
Okay. He just wrote a song.
It's just such a great video. That's at the end. That's after he sings the original song, All My Love. They are just sitting there and they kind of do this riff and it's great. But the whole song leading up to that, it's like a 7 or 8 minute video. So much fun. Google Dick Van Dyke or Google Coldplay Dick Van Dyke video. It's so great and will bring a smile to your face. That leads us sort of to our question of the night, along with the fact that the film The Deer Hunter was released on this day in 1978. One of my favorite songs or movie moments with a song in it happened in The Deer Hunter. And it's Frankie Valli's song, I Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. And Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, George Zunza, and John Savage are all in a bar in Pennsylvania after they punched out at the steel mill, probably after third shift. They're drinking in the morning, shooting pool, and the song Can't Take My Eyes Off of You comes on. Savage's character is about to get married, and they all just, it's just this very organic moment where they all start singing a song. I think we've all had those in our lives. Whether we've been in bars or cars or at a party and a song comes on and everybody just starts singing, it's a great moment. And it's a great moment in The Deer Hunter. We have the clip that hopefully we'll get to at some point tonight, but it leads me to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the best sing-along song or sing-along scene in a movie? What is the best sing-along scene in a movie? You've got Top Gun, the original, with You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Like I just mentioned, The Deer Hunter. Risky Business, where Tom Cruise, I guess he's lip-syncing, but we can count that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he's singing Shake It Up on the float. Julia Roberts in My Best Friend's Wedding, singing, what was it, Say a Little Prayer for You, I think it was. Kind of going off memory here. But there's so many great songs in movies. So what is your favorite moment? What is your favorite sing-along scene in a movie? Pretty simple. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know or text us on the app, too. It's very easy to use. Just log into the Civic Media app. Download it if you don't have it. Our show is easy to find. We're on statewide, so all you have to do is click the little text icon next to whatever station you're listening on. Very easy to use. And let us know. Get in touch with us any way you can, but just get in touch with us. We love reading your texts on the radio. Dumb and Dumber, Conrad. We did that last week. Another one. Mockingbird.
I was going to say that for
two
mine.
Two guys singing?
I was going to say that for mine.
Did we play that?
We did, yeah.
Last week? All right. We have to break that out again this week. All right. So that's the question. Kristen Lyerly is here at 6:35. Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars at 7:20. She's going to help us light it up. Get it? I know you do. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Our question tonight is, what is the best sing-along scene in a movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app, or if you're watching on the stream on Facebook or Twitter, don't hesitate to reach out to us there either. So many great choices. There's Top Gun, You've Lost That Loving Feeling, Deer Hunter, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, Risky Business, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Man or Muppet is another one I just saw online. That's an Oscar-winning number from the Muppets. Superbad, where Evan picks These Eyes. I think Evan was Michael Cera, picks These Eyes and sings it. How about Boogie Nights, Sister Christian with the drug dealer dancing around? Emma Stone, Pocket Full of Sunshine from Easy A. So many great ones to choose from. Let us know what you think. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us. She's, awesome. Sherry says, Bohemian Rhapsody from the movie, or anytime really. I think she means Wayne's World. That is one of the best. When the dude in the back seat is basically passed out and he starts coming to because he hears his jam. They're all like headbanging in the car. Awesome. That's a great text. Thank you, Sherry. Great one. And then who do we have? We got a phone call?
Jim from Brookfield.
Oh, Jim. How's it going, Jim?
It's going well, Mr. Schwab and Conrad. My favorite sing-along, and I know it's kind of old and maybe schmoozy, but Auld Lang Syne at the end of It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. You know, that to me is a good sing-along. I mean, Auld Lang Syne, you know, around the holidays, and to me to end the movie where they're all singing and toasting. I've been at, holiday get-togethers where that movie's on tape or whatever, and people actually sing along to Auld Lang Syne when that comes on to end the movie.
That's a great one too, Jim. And just when you're at a New Year's Eve party and people start singing it, it does happen. Like in the movie, it's totally believable when they break out into it. And when you see what just happened over the course of George Bailey's life, it's phenomenal. That's a great one. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great night. All right, that's Jim from Brookfield. We got Jim from Appleton checking in. He says, enjoyed hearing you on... This is not an answer to the question, but Jim from Appleton says, enjoyed hearing you on Jane's show today. First thought, a sing-along is a shout from Animal House. So he did work one in there. Yes. A little bit softer now. A little bit louder now. Great scene. Iconic. Unfortunately, I was in blues bars after that where idiots would just yell out, Otis, my man. And it's like wanting to relive their Animal House days. So stupid. I just felt like embarrassed for the band and the people shouting that out. But in that movie, it's so perfect. That's a great one, Jim. I kind of forgot all about that one. And thank you for listening to Jane's show today. And thank you to listening to our show. It's always fun to join Jane and Greg. That was a fun interview. Steve from Florida says, Tommy Boy. That's a great one. Chris Farley and David Spade singing along to the Carpenters. Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
I believe on the anniversary of Tommy Boy, we did play that, I believe.
I remember that. Yeah. I was on the road working when I was a stand-up comedian. I was with my friend John Bongiorno and another comedian named Todd Glass, and we went to see Tommy Boy. And I kind of started laughing when they sang it, but when they do that hard cut and they're both just shouting at the top of their lungs, I was on the floor. I couldn't even control myself. I was laughing so hard. That's a great one. Thank you, Steve. Mary from Fond du Lac says, love listening to Don. Context? Don Rosen?
Don Rosen?
Sure. I love listening to Don, too. It doesn't matter. It's great to hear from you, Mary from Fond du Lac. Thank you for listening. Anna in Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. The best sing-along movie song is The Way We Were, sung by Barbara Streisand from the movie of the same name. That movie scene and song make me tear up every time. I don't think you're alone there, Anna. That's a great one, too. Another iconic one. Yeah, excellent text. Thank you. And then Paula says, The Greatest Showman, the song The Greatest Show, and also A Million Dreams. Did you go see that film with your mom?
I actually have never seen that movie.
I haven't either. It was one of those things, my wife and my daughter and I think my sister were going, and I'm like, I really wanted to go because I did want to see it, but I just kind of stayed behind for some stupid reason. And now, as a result, I still have not seen that movie. So keep those texts coming, folks. We're off to a great start. And what's the Lost in Translation, the Brian Ferry song More Than This was in that movie, and I think it was Bill Murray or Scarlett Johansson that was singing it, but great song. How about this one, Boogie Nights, Sister Christian? That's probably my favorite that I've stumbled onto online so far, or Bohemian Rhapsody, because they're so... Well, Bohemian Rhapsody is just hilarious when it happens. And Sister Christian in Boogie Nights is just so weird. It's such a goofy scene. But my overall favorite is probably from The Deer Hunter. I love the song Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. It's a great tune. And just a great scene before these guys were going off to fight in Vietnam and they were just in their bar one last time drinking. One of them's getting married. Really cool scene. So keep them coming, folks. Love to hear from you guys and love to read your texts on the radio. So I don't think we're going to get to our... I really wanted to play that clip. Would you watch anything this weekend? Did you watch anything?
I watched the first episode of Severance.
Oh, yeah. We've heard a lot about that on the show lately. How was that?
You know, it's interesting. I think you got to watch a couple episodes to really get into it, but it's pretty dark right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, I really didn't watch
it. I got to be honest. I don't know much about it. I watched a few things. We'll catch up on that later. A great film noir, and I finished The Madness and Cross. I finished both those shows this weekend. We're doing a really cool thing, folks. Coming up on Christmas, Civic Media is going to have like a 24-hour Christmas carol thing and give people the day off. Some of the show hosts, Christmas carol thing. That's how I sold it. Very, words are my thing. We're going to have like 24 hours of Christmas carols. And Civic Media is going to kick that off with Nightlight. We're going to move it up a couple hours from 4 to 6 on New Year's Eve. We are going to do a show. It might be recorded the day before, but what we're asking listeners for are fun Christmas stories, fun Christmas cookie stories, your favorite carols, whatever. And we have a special email you guys can send those into. So start sending those into nightlight@civicmedia.us, nightlite@civicmedia.us, your favorite Christmas songs, if you have a Christmas story you want to share. And I'll read them on the air. And that will kick us off into the Christmas holiday with nothing but Christmas carols for 24 hours. Should be a lot of fun. Email us, and we'll remind you again of the email at some point in the show. Kristen Lierley is coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
New York City prosecutors have charged 26-year-old Luigi Mangione with second-degree murder in last week's killing of the United Healthcare chief executive officer. Mangione busted in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when a customer in a McDonald's recognized Mangione. Mangione could face an extradition hearing Wednesday. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
In some dark corners, this killer is being hailed as a hero. Hear me on this. He is no hero. The real hero in this story is the person who called 911 at McDonald's this morning.
A federal judge in Phoenix sentenced polygamous leader Samuel Bateman to 50 years in prison for coercing girls as young as 9 into criminal sex acts with him. He claimed 20 spiritual wives. The United Nations says Syria's public sector has come to a complete and abrupt halt after rebels overthrew President Bashar al-Assad. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's the Bucks and the Magic tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Doc Rivers says with Chris Middleton back, the Bucks finally have some depth.
You know, with Chris eventually starting at some point, you know, you all have Gary and TP and AJ Green and boy. We're finally going to say we have a bench.
College basketball. The Badgers in Champaign tonight to take on Illinois. The Badgers dropping from 11th to 20th in the AP Top 25 poll yesterday after losing last week to Michigan and Marquette. College football. Quarterback Tyler Van Dyke announcing he's leaving Wisconsin and entering the transfer portal. Baseball meetings continue in Dallas. Brewers general manager Matt Arnold asked if they'll move Bryce Terang or Joey Ortiz to play shortstop now that Willy Adames is signed with the Giants.
We have several alternatives there, like Terang, Ortiz, et cetera, up the middle if needed, but Willie was, you know, among the best shortstops in the history of our franchise.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Nominations for the Golden Globes were announced Monday, and Variety is reporting that in the film category, Emilia Perez leads the way with 10 nominations. The musical stars Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez and is being called a drug cartel musical. Intrigued? I am. The film is available on Netflix. Not too far behind with 7 nominations, including Best Picture, is The Brutalist, a brutally long 3.5-hour drama set in post-war Europe starring Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, and Guy Pearce, all 3 of whom are nominated for their acting chops. Focus Features Conclave pulled in 6 nominations, including for Best Picture and Best Screenplay, as well as acting nominations for cast members Ralph Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini. The Bear continues to dominate award shows on the little screen with 5 nominations. Only Murders in the Building and Shogun received 4 nominations each. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 30 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 20. Tomorrow some light snow showers. It'll be windy with falling temperatures. We'll be in the low single digits by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jazz Gallery for the Arts in Milwaukee is having a fundraiser. We'll find out how you can help out, and we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got our question tonight. We'll ask our next guest this too. What is the best sing-along song, sing-along scene in a movie? You got Top Gun, Deer Hunter, Risky Business, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Muppets, Boogie Nights, Bohemian Rhapsody from Wayne's World. What was the one from Animal House? The one from Animal House. So there's all kinds. There are some examples to get you going, but let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm excited to welcome my next guest, who was kind of a regular on the show, I would say. And then she ran off and ran for office, and I couldn't really have her on unless I wanted to have her opponent on. And there's all these rules, and I didn't want to, I don't get into politics anyway. So, but she's back now, and we're so thrilled to have you back. Dr. Kristen Lierley, how are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me back. It's so good to be back.
Be honest. You threw the election because you wanted to come back on Nightlife.
Well, I'm announcing here right now.
Finally coming clean. All right.
I have a song.
You have a song. Tell me, please.
I have a song.
All right.
It's from Greece.
Yes.
We Go Together.
Oh,
at the very end
one.
When they're at the carnival and they're all singing and everything is good. That's one of my faves.
How did I forget? I forgot Animal House and I forgot that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one. Is that
Let's
one of your favorite
now.
Movies?
We go together like a rama lama lama. Ding dong.
Remember forever.
Chang, 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 chang.
It's just a bunch of nonsense. That's why it's such a great song. All right, we're already off to a great start.
Yeah, you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
So, all right, let's get the big... I have a lot of fun stuff I want to talk to you about tonight. I've been saving this for months.
Okay,
so
I'm ready.
But you just came off... You're running for the House of Representatives. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, you weren't successful, but you ran a great campaign. You're a very passionate person. What was the best thing about that experience for you?
I love the campaigning.
Did you?
I know that might sound really crazy, but I love being out in unfamiliar places.
Yeah.
That are actually pretty familiar because I grew up here. So like this region is home, but there are all these places. Like I'd never been really to Clintonville.
Yeah.
I hadn't spent so much time in Shawnee, you know, going up to Marinette. I used to work up in Marinette, but I never spent any time other
you
than
were in
at the
Marinette,
clinic.
You didn't call me?
Yeah. Well, there was that whole thing.
Well, but I'm off the air. I can shake your hand or bring you a baby to kiss or something. Come on, Kristen.
No, I just love getting out and meeting people and talking to people about what they care about. It's kind of like, you know, when I'm in my office in a room with a patient and they're telling me about their problem and we're trying to figure out how to attack it, how to solve it, what the options are, what's going to work in their life. I just love that. And that was really, it became really personal at times. I don't know if it's because I'm a doctor and I talk about reproductive rights all the time, but at nearly every event we went to, someone approached me with a deeply personal story. Something about how they could get access to this or couldn't get access to that or an interaction that changed their life. And that really helped me understand the work that we're doing, both in the political realm, but especially in the medical realm, how my work makes a difference in people's lives. So that inspired me and continues to inspire me to fight for people.
Do you think that people like when you've been on this show, you don't hold back. You're not afraid to talk about, you know, what was the thing?
Men
don't have prostate. Women don't have prostate.
Right.
Whatever it is, you're willing to go there. So people probably look at you like you're an open book.
Uh-huh.
Is that why they've... I know during the break last time we were here, I'm like, should I ask her about this problem I've been having? But I don't.
And how did that medicine, that ointment work out for you?
What, the Bengay? Kristen gave Conrad
Preparation
and I
both H it was.
Oh, Preparation H. Wow. It was great. I don't know where I was supposed to apply it. That might have been my problem. I put it in my ears. But you're very helpful. But that's what I mean. Like you're joking about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's stuff you have to laugh about. Is that why you think people they're not scared to approach you just because you are a doctor and they know you're not going to shock you?
I think so.
Yeah.
And because I talked about all the taboo things that are common. You know, like abortion is so hard to talk about, and we don't talk about it in general society, especially here in this part of Wisconsin where we're so very Catholic, and we just don't want to talk about controversial topics. But, you know, abortion is common.
Yeah.
And it, Catholic women receive abortion care and use birth control at the same rate as everybody else.
Sure.
But they don't have a place to talk about it. And that makes it really, really hard. So when you find a safe space, then you want to use it. And a lot of people are carrying around this burden. I mean, people were telling me stories from decades and decades ago that affected their lives. And they were so happy that somebody understood what they had been through.
That's so cool. You have your own practice. What happens to that when you're off campaigning? Do you just kind of take a sabbatical? Do you still try to do both at the same time? How does that work?
I do both. Wow. I have a really interesting practice. I work as what's called a locums doctor, and I've been going up to northern Minnesota to the same site for about 2 years. They should have three OBGYN doctors in this northern rural hospital, but it's really hard to hire doctors to regions like this. So right now they only have one, and they have me. I go up there for about 10, 11, 12 days a month, and I'm on call the entire time I'm there. That means if somebody comes in the middle of the night to have a baby, they call me and I come in to deliver. If there's an emergency, I take care of it. And then during the weekdays, I see patients in the clinic. So I'm kind of like, I'm a known person, but I don't live there. I'm only there a third of the month.
No kidding. And you probably can't stop going there because they need you. So like, what are you supposed to do, right?
Yeah, when I first started going there, they had two doctors and they lost one. We don't even have the pipeline set up. Like, this is, healthcare and politics are so deeply related to each other.
Right.
So we don't have the pipeline to train the doctors to get out to the areas where we need to be able to provide healthcare. Wow. And this isn't just about obstetrics. You know, we're losing labor and delivery units in rural areas all across the country. I mean, Waupaca is closing in February. We lost Medford in October. We lost a couple on the western side, actually four units on the western side of Wisconsin in the last couple of years. We've lost over half of our rural obstetrical units in the last 20 years. And when you lose your labor and delivery, doctors leave. And when doctors leave, a lot of the doctors who are delivering babies in these places are not OBGYNs. They're family medicine doctors. And family medicine doctors take care of your gout and your diabetes and your heart failure. So when they leave, then you have to drive further and wait longer to get the care that you need. And we start to see populations get less and less care and less healthy.
Right.
And the evidence bears that out. When you close a labor and delivery unit, you start to see these hospitals die. And it's not just a healthcare issue. It's an economic issue, because for many of these small towns, the hospital's the biggest employer.
Right.
Yeah.
I want, that's probably the way it is in Marinette. We have Marinette Marine. We have a couple big companies, but I bet they're up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. You know what I think you should have done? This is just, okay.
I can't, I'm ready.
Campaign ad. They show you delivering a baby and giving them one of these, you know, like just vote for Kristen and you're being heroic. And I don't know. Just, I have a lot of great ideas. You should really talk to me next time. Okay.
That we're going to have to talk about, like, do I make the fierce face or the smiling face?
Yeah.
Because usually I'm smiling when I deliver a baby.
It's a happy occasion. Have you seen the movie Baby Boom?
That's an old
Diane
one, isn't
Keaton?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Michael. No, I'm thinking of.
No, it's with Sam Shepard and Diane Keaton. She goes off to move out of New York City to get out of the rat race because she has a baby.
Uh-huh.
And everybody hates the baby or the idea that she's a mom and things are different. So she moves to the middle of nowhere up in Vermont. Meets Sam Shepard, who's awesome, and then they have this thing, and she develops baby food. So I don't know. That just seemed like probably because it's
like
baby. I thought I would ask you if you've seen that.
It from like about 40 years ago, I think I saw it.
I'm not that
I know
old
it's person. Been. I think 40 it's that
years?
Old.
It's not.
It's from the early 80s.
It's like 91 maybe.
Con.
Google.
I will go to
boom.
The Google.
Go to the Google. I guarantee you, it was post 1990. You think it's older?
1984. 1987. Hey-o! We split the difference.
That's pretty good. All right. A good movie, though. A feel-good movie.
It is a good movie. Thought.
Let's play. All right. We have something we did last week. Are you, do you like Lifetime movies or Hallmark movies? Do you ever watch those?
No.
Okay, good. Then you'll like this. So we put together, in honor of the season, a little movie trailer for a Lifemark movie that we think would be a fun movie to watch this time of year. Go ahead, Conrad. LifeMark's very melancholy Christmas continues with this week's film, The Christmas Shoes.
The holiday spirit is alive in the little town of Port Denmark, Wisconsin. The picturesque streets are lined with Christmas lights and good cheer. And Christmas cheer is teeming in the people of Port Denmark and in a very special pair of shoes.
Honey, these shoes were handed down from your great-grandmother to your grandmother to me, and now I'm giving them to you. We've all met the love of our lives while we were wearing the Christmas shoes. And if you're wearing them when you're proposed to, your marriage will be full of love and romance and prosperity. You and Derek are so good together. If Derek doesn't propose, I don't want it to be because you weren't wearing the Christmas shoes. Oh, sweetheart, he would be a fool to let you go. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Mom.
This Christmas, feel the love of the Christmas shoes playing all month long on LifeMark.
My first question is, what kind of shoes are they?
Conrad? Conrad plays Derek. They're a couple. Yeah. They're getting married, so...
Well, I think they're high tops.
They're probably high tops if Conrad's wearing one.
And they're just, they form to your feet. No size needed.
Right, which is what you look for in a mate. So if you need a Kleenex, they're right there. We didn't want you to cry when you came in here. I rarely get into people's backgrounds. But you, okay.
So, I'm holding it together. Well,
thank you for that. What's the best? I'm going to get into health a little bit if I can do that. And then we'll do the symptoms game. Can we do that?
Are we starting with shared shoes and the problems that people can have?
The shape of your feet. And, yeah, no, we won't go there because that's an intimate thing for Conrad. And, but we
Conrad?
Have a, we,
intimate?
We have a game. We don't go there. We don't have that kind of friendship. I don't want to know what he does in his free time. I'm sure he doesn't want to know what I want to do. You've brought one of your children here. We don't need to subject
Lindsay.
Lindsay. We'll meet Lindsay in a little while if he's willing. Maybe he'll come on a little later.
He's a theater kid, so you know, put him on stage.
Oh, and, fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right. So what's the best preventative food you can eat for health? Let's say you have one food you can eat. What is going to keep illness away the most, in your opinion?
There isn't one, Pete.
Okay.
Water. But if you had to pick one incredibly important thing, it would be just plain water.
Not a food with a lot of water for any kind of sustenance?
There is no one food. Even if you eat the healthiest food and that's all you eat, that's not okay. It's not going to work for you.
But I've heard like if you eat just a sweet potato or avocado, like I was just trying to have some fun here and you go all medical on me. Because water, I've heard you can live without air for 3 minutes. Is it water for 3 days and food for 3 months or something like that?
But that sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Sure.
So even with water, you're only buying 3 days.
But yeah. Yeah.
But at least you'll be hydrated.
That's a problem, though. People don't know when they get dehydrated, especially as you get older, Pete. Yeah. As you get older.
Yeah, because I watched Baby Boom 65 years ago, apparently.
No, as you get older, the signs of dehydration are harder to pick up on, and people don't recognize they're getting dehydrated. And then it's pretty easy for people to get sick, which is why older people...
Was that a problem, Conrad?
Sorry.
Did we say something you don't want to hear?
Sorry.
Oh, my God. It's like at a Doors concert all of a sudden.
We need to get Conrad some water.
All right. Kristen Lierley is here. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. We're going to talk a little bit about Christmas with Kristen when we come back. And then we have a game called Symptoms. And I'm excited to play that. That'll be after the top of the hour. And then we're talking cigars at 6:20. You're welcome to stick around for that. And maybe we'll get Lindsay a little cigar education. Have you smoked a cigar yet? No, not yet. All right, first time for everything. That's all coming up on Nightlight. Don't leave, folks. We're having fun on the Civic Media Radio Network. City of night. City of night. City of night. City of night. Woo! Oh!
News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, folks. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue,
welcome back. Kristen's fans are chiming in. Hey, by the way, if you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, don't hesitate to ask it. We'll have fun with it. If she can't answer it, I'm sure we don't want to put you on the spot with medical stuff, but you're always fun about answering questions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you do have a medical question or concern, reach out to us on the text line, old school, or the app, or the stream, and let us know. You can talk to Kristen directly. Monica from Mount Horeb says, roly-poly, Doris Day and pillow talk. Now that's going back quite a while.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one.
I have not either, but that's a great text. I love getting texts from all different time periods of movies, and that's a great one. I'll probably Google. Conrad, let's Google roly-poly later. We can at least give the courtesy to Monica to listen to her song maybe on the air. Tom from Jackson says, Kristen equals social butterfly.
That was my nickname in grade school.
Do you know Tom?
No.
Okay.
Wow. Tom, you hit the nail on the head, brother.
Josh gave his email. I don't think I should read that on the air, Conrad.
Yeah,
he'll just be mobbed. He won't even be able to go to the bathroom anymore, wherever he is. Tom from Jackson continues, how much water should an adult drink every day? Our first medical question for Dr. Lyerly.
Oh, that's good. Well, about 2 liters, if you can.
And a liter is like 2 liters is like 65 ounces-ish? Just
think about like a 2-liter bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's,
if you put the numbers in, that gets really confusing. So don't think about like the numbers. Just think about like the shape of a 2-liter bottle.
See, I think that makes sense to me.
That would be ideal, but most people don't get that.
But some people say it's like a gallon. And I'm like, at what point do you tax your kidneys or you have to run to the bathroom every 2 seconds? Like 60, I drink probably 50 to 60 on a good day. And I'm not ever thirsty or anything, but I don't know. I never knew. I'm actually glad Tom asked that question because I wasn't totally sure about that.
And you can drink too much. Right. It is possible to drink too much water. We see this especially with like marathon runners. Where it's hot and they're drinking a lot of water, but they're not replacing their salts. So they can get to a point where their salt in their body is really low and then their brain starts to swell. And
oh my gosh.
That's a whole thing.
So don't run marathons is what I'm hearing. just why waste your time? It's not worth it. Rob on the stream says, he says a lot of specialists are leaving. I live in Shawano County. I use and see specialists in Shawano. I think he's using voice text here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just solidifying what you said earlier about people leaving. So
Rob and I have talked about this, how hard it is to see a specialist because there just aren't enough doctors. So you have to travel. And, you know, traveling isn't possible for everybody.
Absolutely. Especially if you have an ailment of some sort. Mm-hmm. Rob says, I drink a gallon of water because when you don't get enough, you get a dizzy spell. Well, that can happen too.
It sure can.
I asked you the question about one food. What do you still send out Christmas cards? This is going to be our question tomorrow night.
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah. Every year I'm like, oh, am I going to send out Christmas cards again this year? Because it's, you know, we've got Facebook and all the messaging things. And it just seems like a lot. But then I've got people who send me pictures of their kids and their family. I just keep doing it.
Do you send out a letter? With everybody? No.
Mm-mm.
Too much work?
Just a picture. This year I'm sending out more because of the campaign.
Oh, okay.
Because now I have more friends.
You have friends more impersonal even than your Facebook friends now somehow. So you have four boys.
Uh-huh.
Is there any temptation? I mean, do you guys all get in the picture and then you just send them out to everybody?
I put all the kids.
Yeah.
And Abe's girlfriend is in our picture this year, too.
Oh, that's risky.
I ask them. Okay. It's not like a commitment. It's just like, this is who we are right now.
Okay. Whatever works. I don't do that anymore. We did that until our kids were like 6 and 2. And then I'm like, this is so much work.
It's a lot of work.
I got to track down addresses. Mm-hmm. It can be expensive. You got to go to the post office. Now I'm like, but I still get them. I feel kind of guilty when I get Christmas cards from people, but because I do like reading them.
Yeah.
Even the Christmas letters too, where people get too impersonal or too personal.
There is something about a handwritten letter.
Mm-hmm.
There is something
anymore.
but it means so much. You know, when somebody sends you a thank you card or just makes a point, and it doesn't need to be like paragraphs. It could just be a card saying, thanks so much for what you do, or I really appreciate you, or you inspire me, or something like that. Every time I get something like that, and, you know, I got quite a few during the campaign, every single one I got just like melted my heart. Like somebody took the time to write this out, to stick it in the mail, to share their thoughts and their sentiments. It's really meaningful.
Absolutely. Here's a medical thing for you.
Uh-huh.
My muscles in my arm don't work anymore. I can't write.
One arm?
I don't have penmanship. Well, I never wrote with this arm. I'm not ambidextrous. And I know that's not a funny joke, by the way. Your son is here.
Yes.
Okay. So, no.
He's
just
a lefty.
Because too much information. I can't write anymore. Those muscles don't work because it's all text. It's all keyboard and phone. Mm-hmm. And what do I do to just write, or how do I strengthen that? I get one of those things that you squeeze, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hand strength.
Probably.
I mean, if you don't use it, you lose it, Pete.
That's what I've heard.
Conrad, where are those yoga mats? Where did they go?
They're in a closet.
Is there a way I could do yoga for one hand just to get that operational again? Because if I wrote you a handwritten letter, it would be chicken. You'd probably misinterpret it as something crazy or something.
Maybe you need to see an occupational therapist.
Do you know one?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, they're brilliant. They do amazing work.
Is that the thing Ron Livingston saw in Office Space? The occupational hypnotherapist, it was. I'll get hypnotized. I don't care. Hey, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. We're going to pop away here just for a minute for Civic Media's award-winning news. And then when we come back, we're going to play a game called Symptoms. And all of you have them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you take them too seriously, some not seriously enough. But we'll get Dr. Kristen Lierley's input on that game. It'll be fun. You won't want to miss that. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and Civic Media's own Rich Lucchesio, Swedish jazz queen Gunhild Carling, and Northeast Wisconsin author Brett Kissinger. Let's light it up like it's a school night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 26-year-old Luigi Mangione now charged with second-degree murder in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan last week. Mangione was arrested at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania on Monday. ABC's Josh Einiger, who's there, says police found
three sloppily written, handwritten pages in his backpack that law enforcement found. They referred specifically to UnitedHealthcare and spoke about his disdain for the healthcare industry, including these specific quotes. Quoting now, "These parasites had it coming."
Syria's prime minister says most cabinet members are back at work following the overthrow of President Bashar Assad's government. People have been gathering at the gates of the notorious Sadnaya prison in Damascus looking for loved ones. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the stand in his long-running corruption trial in Tel Aviv. He's also facing an international arrest warrant for war crimes as the fighting in Gaza continues. This is ABC News.